From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Matinair On Air, where this week Jane and Greg spoke with Colleen McCarthy, the Vice President of Vericity Organ and Tissue. They had an impactful conversation about organ donation. To listen to the whole interview, check out the podcast or listen to the show at civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair On Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. You can always join the show, call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Very excited to have with us in studio from Vericity, Colleen McCarthy is here. Good to see you again, Colleen. Thank you so much for coming in. Wanted to talk about a release that I saw a couple of weeks ago. Both chambers of Wisconsin legislature have passed significant legislation to allow Wisconsin residents to join the Wisconsin Organ Donor Registry. And all you have to do is opt in when you file your Wisconsin income tax form. That's pretty great.
It is. This is such an amazing way to engage more people in Wisconsin to join the registry. So currently, most people, when they sign up to be an organ donor, they do that at the DMV.
Yep.
But your license is only renewed every 8 years. And so there's all this missed opportunity for somebody to think about organ donation. So with this bill, this now gives people a yearly reminder to think about organ donation and to, you know, give the best gift you possibly can, sign up to be a donor.
Seriously, Colleen, can you tell us approximately how many people are on waiting lists?
Yeah, you know, there are over 100,000 people across the country waiting for an organ and almost 2,000 in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And those patients that are waiting, they are just desperately sick and they are so hopeful and desperate for a second chance at life. So every single opportunity that we have to promote organ donation and to inspire people to sign up, it is so important.
I think a lot of people always assume that it's all hearts. Everybody needs a heart. But there's many, many, many other organs that can be used, because as the daughter of a mortician, I can say this with some authority, you're not going to need them later.
That's true.
Just not.
You know, the majority of people that are waiting for a transplant are waiting for a kidney. And so in order to keep those patients alive, they have to be on dialysis. And that's such a difficult lifestyle.
Yes.
To be on dialysis daily or every other day. And it's just debilitating for people. So the biggest need is for kidneys.
But now that's something that people don't have to wait, right? Because we have two kidneys.
Right.
And so if you have two healthy kidneys, that's something. I'm sure there's a kidney donor registration. That might be separate.
Right. You're absolutely right. It is separate, but it still is an opportunity. You can be a living donor. And, you know, for every patient that we get off that transplant waiting list, that just only helps more people get that second chance. So there is an opportunity to be a living donor by working with your local transplant program to say, hey, I want to donate a kidney. And they will make sure that this is a safe option for you. But the other option that Vericity Bliss Center Wisconsin oversees is deceased organ donation. And so, you know, it is so important that any way that we can raise awareness through living donation or deceased donation is just so important.
And what amazes me, too, as I've talked to various people about this over the years, you can use everything from eyes to corneas to skin, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's nothing has to get wasted.
Right. Yeah. You know, one tissue donor can help over 75 people. And one of the main utilizations of tissue donation is recovered skin is used for breast reconstruction after mastectomy. So
really?
All these women that have suffered debilitating cancer and have, you know, breast cancer survivors, many of them can have a reconstruction surgery, and that comes from a tissue donor.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
We just got a text from Chris in Janesville who said our close friend's son passed and was able to donate 5 organs.
Wow.
So important.
So important.
That was hard to read. Wow.
Oh, okay. And I got to say, these donor families, that text you just got, these donor families are so incredibly generous. And, you know, in the middle of devastating loss, in the middle of grief and crisis of losing their loved one unexpectedly, they think of others and they say yes. And that is such a gift that these families will allow their loved ones to live on in others. And the peace and comfort that it gives these donor families down the road, again, this is so helpful for them. It's helpful for patients, but it also helps these families get through some really difficult grief.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I bet it really helps in the healing.
Mm-hmm. It does.
To know that your son or your wife or your is living on.
Yes.
A part of them is living on and bringing joy and a fulfilling life to others.
Their legacy lives on.
Right.
Yes, it's amazing.
That's wonderful.
Example.
Colleen McCarthy is our guest. She's with Versity Wisconsin, and we're talking about organ donation. And now, is it still being waiting? Are we still waiting for Governor Evers to sign off on this?
That's right. That's the next step.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this measure passed both houses. Oh, my God. We actually got something done bipartisanly. but this happens.
Yes.
This mm-hmm. does happen.
Yes.
And we like to highlight things where both sides can actually come together and do something. I don't know. That's good for everybody.
Yes.
So that's great. So what this will do is allow Wisconsin residents to sign up to the organ donor registry just when you file your Wisconsin income tax forms. So we're waiting for the governor to sign it. So this would then kick in maybe next year.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Is this something, Colleen, that's less hush-hush that you factor, that people are more willing to talk about this?
You know, I think that's been part of the problem that we've seen our organ donation registry flat for several years. It's not always necessarily a fun topic to talk about. And so, you know, really the decision to be a donor is part of your, you know, end-of-life planning, your health, you know, your advanced health care planning, what you want to happen after you're no longer here. And so that's not a pleasant topic. And so we just want to highlight, you know, the need for organ donation and focus on that and what an easy gift that you can leave behind.
Well, and you said something very important, and I hate to be, it's my job to be the killer of joy. You have to write it down. It has to be either on your driver's license, because I'm an organ donor, and so I have the little dot on it that says that I'm an organ donor, or it needs to be in your will, mm-hmm. because tragically this does happen. After some people die, their family decides they want to do something else. Mm-hmm. It happens.
And there's nothing stating the fact that you wanted this
right.
thing.
So you absolutely need to be very precise about this and make sure that it's all done legally so that your wishes are followed. And again, we've talked to, we have a friend who's a lawyer who Joe McClear.
Yes.
Who we've talked to about setting up plans for, you know, estates and as you age. And these are hard discussions. But it's the circle of life, baby. It is.
Yeah,
you're right. And, you know, it's one less decision that your family needs to make at a very difficult time. So it can take that burden off a family to make that decision while they're dealing with so many other difficult things in the middle of sadness. So it eases burden for your family, too.
So we talk about the difficult decisions. When someone decides or they're in the decision-making process to donate an organ while they're still alive, of course, you know, I mean, I've had it on my cart since I could drive and I don't have to worry about it when I'm gone. But if I'm looking to donate something, what are the biggest myths or concerns that people are faced with or they're thinking going into it, and how do you dispel them? Because, you know, you're, you know, giving up a kidney or giving up whatever. And people might be scared of that. That I think that's one of the reasons why the conversation is hard. People are just scared of the unknown.
Oh, you're right. That's a great question. You know, one of the things that we consistently hear is, if I sign up to be a donor and I'm admitted to a hospital after a terrible accident, will they save me, or will they let me die so that my organs can be used for someone else? And that's a fear that we hear.
I didn't know that.
That would never have crossed my mind.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I think that speaks to, you know, lack of trust in healthcare systems. So I think, you know, the lack of trust impacts organ donation. Disparities in healthcare impact organ donation as well, unfortunately. And so we just have to keep reassuring people that every effort is made to save your life. That's the goal. That's always the goal. And and this only happens after all those efforts have been exhausted.
Yeah. And if that were happening, I think we'd be hearing a lot more of organ donations. They're up 100%.
Yeah.
Right. What? And I lost my cousin who just had asthma.
Meanwhile, lots of dead people
from asthma. But, you know, it reminds me of the movie Coma.
Oh.
This is going back a long, long time ago. But that was the premise. They intentionally put people into comas so they could harvest their organs. That doesn't happen, people.
It does not. It
does not.
That
does not happen.
No.
And Chris from Janesville, who shared that their close friends whose son passed, they were able to donate 5 organs. Chris wanted us to honor Connor, Nikki, and Brad.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Question from a texter from the 262. What happens to the rest of the body after the selected organs get removed?
After organ recovery occurs at the hospital in the operating room, the organ donor is reconstructed. And so families can have a funeral of their choice. They can have a viewing. They can proceed with their usual, what the family wants for their closure. So organ and tissue donation does not impact a viewing, and families can still have that closure.
I had no idea. I always assumed it would automatically be cremation, but that's not accurate.
No, not at all. Not at all. Families can have that, you know, that final goodbye in any manner that they want with organ and tissue donation.
Colleen McCarthy is our guest from Versity, and we're talking about organ and tissue donation and how important it is, and a new bipartisan measure in Wisconsin that has now gone to Governor Evers' desk that would allow folks to sign up to be an organ donor when you file your Wisconsin income taxes, which I think is great. Catherine from Madison, listening here on WAUK. Jane, does organ donation cost the donor family any money?
Oh, another great question. And no. The costs associated with the evaluation for organ donation and tissue donation does not, the family does not incur any of that. The recovery organizations do. And so again, there's not a financial disincentive for families to say yes to donation. That is covered, and hopefully that's not a barrier for families at all.
If you have a question for Colleen, please feel free to call or text it in at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream. Okay, here's my question, Colleen, because I'm an organ donor, and I have not necessarily lived the healthiest of lifestyles. So what if they open me up and it's like, yeah, none of this is good?
You know, that's a good question too.
Yeah, put her back, send her away.
You know, a lot of people make assumptions that they may not be able to be an organ donor based off of their health history, but that's not the case. There's such a desperate need that patients that are waiting for a transplant can accept organs that may not be in perfect condition.
Really?
So for example, we can recover and transplant organs safely that from donors that have HIV. The oldest organ donor in the country was 96 years old.
Seriously?
Yeah, and so there's very, very, very few medical rule-outs for organ donation. The biggest rule-out is that in order to be a deceased organ donor, you have to pass away in a hospital on a ventilator. And that's the main reason why there's so few organ donors, because of that criteria.
Okay, can you stay for another segment?
Yes,
wonderful.
Of course.
Again, if you have a question for Colleen, please text it in, 855-75-CIVIC. We will continue this conversation about the importance of organ and tissue donation and how both sides of the aisle in Wisconsin agreed on something. I have to go lay
they
down.
They did it.
I know.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabo, where this week, Pete welcomes Jeopardy rock star and Green Bay native Dr. Ben Chan to the show.
Hey, welcome back. Oh, I got the lights. I got to hit the lights, Conrad. The show's called Nightlight. Here we go. I'm really thrilled to introduce this next guest. He is here in studio with me, and he's much smarter than me. And he is a St. Norbert professor.
No.
Please welcome. Listeners, please welcome Ben Chan. Ben, welcome to Nightlight.
Ooh, Ben Chan.
They're not saying boo. They're saying Ben Chan. Hey, welcome. It's great to have
Thanks
you here.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, I've heard much about you. I'm excited to get to know you better.
Oh, well, that's great. Let's do it. Let's do it for everyone to hear. Let's become friends. We're already Facebook friends.
Yeah, let's hang out.
You accepted my request, so now let's...
In real life after this.
Yeah, let's pal around, as they say. Okay, Ben, I want to get to Jeopardy, all that stuff. You're like this big star now, but tell me a little bit and tell the listeners a little bit about who you are. Well, give us some background on Ben.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I grew up in Queens, New York. I've lived in Green Bay for 10 years. St. Norbert College brought me here.
So, and you're a professor of philosophy, correct?
Yes, correct.
Who's your favorite philosopher?
I have a couple of different tattoos of quotes from Immanuel Kant.
Yeah. Oh, for some reason, I knew you were going to say that. That's so weird. I guess there's kind of a funny story. Tell us about what made you and the circumstances. What inspired you to try to get on Jeopardy? Walk us through that.
Yeah. I mean, there's the funny part. I think the initial thing that got me to take the test online, everybody should take the anytime test, by the way. Like, I just
Conrad,
took it.
Take a memo.
Yeah, right. I watched the TV. I watched it one day. I had a glass of wine because it's post-dinner viewing for us. And I thought I would have won this game. And so I took the anytime test off a glass of wine while sitting on my couch. And that led to an audition, which led to me being on the show, right? And so, you know, it really, it can happen to anybody, right? I think, you know, my inspiration for it, it was also, you know, like I told my, my dad, he died during COVID 2020. Oh, and then, it's he had a very good life, right? And then as it happened, you know, one of my best friends in an unrelated thing died the next year. And that was actually the impetus to make me really go for it. Like I hadn't had a bucket list before then, but he was the best guy. He also, this is going to sound weird, but like he's a philosophy professor, but he, he had a very prestigious place, but he told me like, oh, Ben, you're like, you're the smartest person I know. Right. And I was like, oh, after that, I was like, oh, right. You know, Steve, my friend who passed, was like, oh, he thought you were super smart. You should go on Jeopardy to like show people what Steve saw, right? Because it's, I don't know.
That's really cool. Now, the story I heard was you were on your couch in your underwear drinking wine. So you kept it G-rated.
Now, okay. I've got another funny story about if you want to go to PG.
Well, I think we can handle it. It's a family show, but PG is allowed. I want to go into detail.
Yeah, my other funny, this is an icebreaker. I didn't get clearance to say in one of my interviews on Jeopardy, which is Magic Johnson has seen me naked.
I saw that. Yeah. How did, truth or dare? Was it a truth or dare game?
No.
Just a couple guys hanging out? How did that
I went
happen?
To grad school at UCLA, and the funny thing about UCLA is like I would play pickup basketball. I'm actually a huge basketball fan.
Same.
And inside the student center, it's like on the one court, you have like random, you know, people like me playing pickup. On the next court, Magic Johnson, Lisa Leslie, Kobe Bryant, like literally 10 feet from you on the same floor, they're having a NBA pickup game. And then so in the locker room, that's where he saw me naked, right? And so the that's the true story. And then the not true story is to say, then he said, and they call me Magic Johnson.
Well, you just created quite a visual there for us, Ben.
Who's really watching or listening?
Listen, I hope some people are, but you should tell that story on Jeopardy. You'll have maybe a few
more.
Yeah, no,
they couldn't. They couldn't fact check it. So
did he say anything to you after that? Or
oh man, no, he didn't. I mean, the funny thing is, he was like talking to somebody, and I was taking a Kant seminar. It comes back to Kant.
Yeah,
and then I was really mad because I didn't have my copy of Kant's Critique of Practical Reason with me because...
You didn't have that in the gym locker room with you?
No, I thought I had it with me. So I went into my locker because I wanted Magic Johnson to sign it because I was going to say like, you know, Magic, you're arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. Immanuel Kant is arguably the greatest philosopher of all time. I think it would be really cool if you signed this book.
Oh, that's kind of a right? nice way to bridge
that. Yeah,
that
would have been great, right? But I didn't
I would
have my
say
book.
Michael Jordan's better than both of them. But... You know, what do I know? So, my guest, by the way, is Ben Chan. The finals are on tomorrow night, correct? From Jeopardy?
Yeah, it's best of seven.
Best of seven. You have to win. You have to be the first player to win 3 out of 7 for $250,000. I don't want to get your hopes up, but we're trying to get it so that Conrad and I are the two guys you play against. And all we ask is if you win.
Why wasn't that the case?
We get a taste. That's all we're asking for. You've already won like what, 70 G's so far? Something like that?
254 G's.
So if you win the next round, you're at $500,000?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the money?
I'm a simple person.
99 out on the town?
Right.
Some new slacks?
Right. No, I think my spouse and I, we would like to be able to travel with the dogs, you know, so some sort of vehicle situation where we could go into, you know, the national parks and see the national parks, be able to travel with dogs, etc.
That would be really cool. What, Well, what does your wife think of all this?
She's been very supportive. She understands, like, I'm a serial hobbyist, you know, like I've gotten really into woodworking at times, into golf, and like I like learning something new and getting good at it, right? And so she's been understanding of those things in the past, and she was very understanding of this too.
I'm going to ask you something on the radio, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you smarter than your wife?
No, I mean,
okay. Just the fact that you answered like that tells me you might be.
I'm maybe smarter than my dad in that respect. It's like, I think I believe we have very complementary intelligences.
That's a very good answer. And that's probably true of most couples,
true.
Right?
It's like, it's like it wouldn't work otherwise.
I have so much to ask you here. I don't even know where to go next. I know you tried out for Fear Factor. All right. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about Fear Factor.
Okay.
That'll be a good one.
That's a good
one.
And
then I want to ask you, too, about.
And then we got to talk Oscars.
And we'll talk. Oh, buddy. We'll talk Oscars. Believe me. This is a mini series, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. You're not just here for 15 minutes.
I'm auditioning.
All right. That's the voice of Ben Chan, Jeopardy rock star. He's back at it tomorrow in the finals. Coming up next, I'm going to ask him what his Fear Factor tryout was like, and we will get to some Oscars. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Mino and the mayor of WGBW, where this week they welcome to the show Caleb and Colin Posselt for their live music series.
Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. We're having a fun time on Friday morning here. And we're now live from the City Deck Landing Studios.
Feels like Friday afternoon, huh?
I know, right? But we got Dennis from the Glam Band, and he's got some very special guests for his very special segment. Dennis, take it away, buddy.
Take who?
Hey. Well,
take two, as a matter of fact. Look at these guys.
Ooh, I like
in
that.
Studio today, we have Caleb and Colin Posselt, and let those guys tell you about who they are and what they're all about.
Well, thanks for having us on. I like that little segue.
That just happened.
He's magical, man.
That was
telling you.
He's a magic man.
Tell you, if you want to meet a guy that's good on his feet, it's Dennis.
Over. He's a very organic man.
we're take two acoustic. Thanks, guys, for having us on. Appreciate it.
Fantastic to have you guys here. Thank you so much.
We'd like to thank you and your beards for being here, by the way.
They're happy to be here.
You could do a little ZZ Top tribute, couldn't you?
When we were let, yeah. We've gotten that before. We hear that ZZ Top, people ask them if they're take two.
Oh, I believe that.
That's just wild.
No,
we're brothers. We've been playing for a while, you know, since we've been young, doing it started with high school talent shows.
Middle
school talent shows. I mean, not high school.
And you survived.
And we survived. We've just been doing it ever since, kind of. Took a hiatus for a couple of years because of work. Because
we got real jobs.
But unfortunately, you can't get rid of the itch to play music. So
that's fantastic. I know when you get out of high school and you get to adult life, there's a transition that goes on, you know, trying to figure out, get your feet on the ground, you know, moving on with that. But you navigated or gravitated back to playing guitars and playing together again.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's awesome. That's beautiful. So I couldn't do that with my brothers, for example. There's just no way. We're way too different. But you guys, on the other hand, I mean, right down to the beards. Look at you guys.
Yeah, our parents always kept us pretty close. They didn't let me pick on him too much.
Well, I can see why.
Yeah.
I mean, you both could handle yourselves. Believe me, you know. You clean up in my household, I tell you what.
Hey, remember we were talking about how Jim said the Dalai Lama had the softest hands?
I was
shake hands with these two guys?
Yeah.
These are workman hands. Yeah,
they must work out. Yeah.
Yeah, I play guitar a lot.
that's part of it, too. It's part of the... I guess when you play guitar, it's what do you call it? The occupational hazard, if you will.
Yeah.
There's the roadmaps on these things.
Yeah,
look
I
at
believe
this
it.
Topographical map of Wisconsin.
None of my roads go anywhere. Why is that? What's wrong with my roads?
Because you're a local musician.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
That's kind of weird.
That hurts. That hurts.
That almost made me pass out. That was heavy, man. Yeah. Well played.
They'd be the first ones to say it when you're a local musician, eh?
Well.
You know, one of the things I love about guys like this, like what you guys said, is, and we talked with Dennis about this and other guys, the local, and we really want to feature local artists. Like what you said, I could picture guys doing middle school talent shows because that shows what you love, and you are still doing it right now with full-grown beards. You're still doing what you love your entire life. Yeah. I salute anybody that can do that.
Amen to that.
Yeah, thank you.
That, that makes me think, too, like, what was it that got you started at the middle school level to do that? Was it a teacher that did that?
Well, I always tell the story because it's what happened was Colin really hated going to school, so he'd fake tummy aches every day.
This was in elementary, though. This is when I was in third grade. So.
Yeah, and he'd fake tummy aches every day.
So. I had seen your slide in the third grade. I know what you mean.
So my mom was like, well, if you hate going to school that bad, we're going to homeschool you. We'll try homeschooling you. And so he had to learn an instrument. Colin, the younger brother, had to learn an instrument, and he wanted to learn piano or guitar. And at the time, being a young kid, you know, I have my judgments about things and and biases. And I said, well, I don't want you to turn into a little weirdo. So I don't want you to be a nerd on the piano. You should learn guitar, you know? And so then he actually just gravitated towards the guitar. But then every time he went to a guitar lesson, I had to go with, cause I wasn't old enough to stay home, and I'd get jealous that he was playing guitar, cause I thought it was cool. So every time he set the guitar down, I had to pick it up. And so
there's the glue between the two right there. There's the glue.
That is an awesome story.
But Caleb just started singing, like, and then,
I had to. We were going to play, I think, my fifth grade talent show, so he was in third grade. And so we decided to play Patience by Guns N' Roses.
Oh, nice.
And someone had to sing it.
I got a quick story, not to deflect from you guys, but I did a fifth grade, I think I was in fifth or sixth grade, we did a talent show back in
that. I know, and that's when you told me that, and these guys kind of did the same. I love that's the way you guys got into the music, and you're still doing what you love.
Scary for me, though, the song we chose wasn't at a party, you know, could have been the whiskey, might have been the gin.
Fifth grade.
Oh, my God, we got laughed at and had no idea why. No, moving right along. True love story, I can't make that up.
Love it.
Yeah. So tell us about what the Take Two Acoustic, how that started, how long ago, and how often do you guys play, et cetera, et cetera.
That pretty much started, right around then, but we started,
With a name brand, Take Two Acoustic.
To credit Russ Reiser a little bit, Russ Reiser from Vic Ferrari, a longtime friend of ours, we'd go watch his acoustic shows, and we've been kind of watching him on stage for a long time. And we started to think when we were young, like, well, let's, we don't want to get jobs. Let's make some money with guitars a little bit if we can. So we started, our parents helped us make the investment. Thank God for them. And my dad said, if you guys will actually stick to it, I'll help you buy some equipment, and we'll. Wow. He bought a cap for his pickup truck so we could haul gear around and keep it dry. And every weekend, Friday nights after school and Saturday nights, they were carting us around to gigs. And our mom was the secretary answering the phone.
They seriously haven't missed a show. Our parents have been the best, the number one. I mean, yeah, the best parents.
That's amazing.
But Take Two, we literally were just like, hey, we need a name because this, it was Rick Puffy. I forget the name of the bar.
It was a bar in Little Chute.
Yeah, he let us play a
pop in again.
He let us play a 2-hour set there. And so my dad set up for the first time, and he ran our sound, and we played, and we're like, we need a name. So we just thought of the take sign,
a movie. Take one.
So we just pasted that and added Take Two to it, and we'll just be like, well, we'll take two or two guys.
Clever.
Love it. And sometimes we need a second take.
And we often need a second take, yeah. But there's zero great meaning behind that, so.
So do we want to go to the song now? Great.
You want to do a song now and then maybe another one? So,
yeah.
It's your show. It's your game show. So I just
want us to do that.
So tell us about this. This is kind of neat. These fellas, they like fly by the seat of their pants. Us the story about this.
Do.
They're going to play an acoustic song that they just wrote yesterday.
Okay,
tell us about that.
Yeah. So me and Caleb, we were talking the other day.
Can I pause?
Yeah.
This happens a lot. One of us will be having a crappy day at work. And we'll text the other guy and go, dude, we need to write a song because it could make us famous and it might help us not be able to do this stupid job anymore.
There's your motivation.
That's and we've been saying that for years.
Take this job, Ben.
It's this, you know, the dream of
the every musician's dream, right?
But we suck at rating songs because we never finish them. Because
we're our own worst critic. It's like so heavy, you know. We criticize ourselves. Like, you know, I write lyrics or he writes a riff, and then we're like, oh man, that sucks. That's corny.
In the words of Dalai Lama, let it go, man.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Frozen.
Hey,
I was way off.
Hey, Dennis.
What?
Ask them if they'll do us a special favor.
What?
What did you suggest earlier that would be a great song? I met the Dalai Lama and at Lady Gaga.
I know there's a song in there. We got to write a song together. It's just got that rhythmic rhyme to it.
There's
know?
Material there.
There's something there. Yeah.
Your somewhere. People get in touch with my people. We'll work this out.
There needs to be a refrain, though. Soft hands.
Warm
soft,
heart.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Soft maybe hands, warm heart.
Yes.
Maybe when I get a stand-up bit together, make special together, maybe I'll throw it in there.
Perfect.
So, okay, tell us about your song, fellas.
We're that day. I'm like, hey, tonight, when you get done with work, I'm done with work, let's just hang out, have a couple beers, whatever, and let's just write a song. Because we record guitar riffs that we think are cool that we come up with all the time. So we're sitting in the living room, and I had this 12-string in my hand, the 12-string acoustic here, and I was just playing this one little riff, and I'm like, God, that sounds cool. And Caleb just out of nowhere just writes lyrics to it, and it's got like a universal meaning song. About
I kind of had a bit of a tough week, tough day, and I'm like, I got some lyrics that I think apply to a lot of people, and you know, that's what I kind of had in mind.
But me and my girlfriend just got back from vacation at midnight last night, and we had only played this song once through before that. So at 1-2 in the morning this morning, we were going through this song, and so yeah.
Well, whether it's a game show or a new song, this is a place to experiment. So you guys take it away.
It's hard. We'll come back and restart someday. Always someday. We can always recharge. Sun will rise again up someday. Tell me someday. I know my heart and I know my mind. I know my soul. I see that it's real. I know my heart and I know my mind. I know my soul. I feel it that it's real.
That's the first time we made that song through without messing it up.
We got to the end there. I'm like, hey, we actually got it without making a mistake.
That just happened. Caleb and Colin Posselt, ladies and gentlemen, from Take Two Acoustic and the full band Avenue 55 here in studio with us today. Yes, sir. Fantastic, fellas.
Thank you very much.
Honestly, guys, so much that was fantastic.
Wow. I got tears in my
that
eyes.
That was outstanding.
Can you guys strum a couple of things as we go into break? Just anything?
Yeah, absolutely.
Take us out.
I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. All I know is that it feels like forever. And no one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your...
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WGBW and WISS weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Closing out the first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, where this week Pat welcomes Chad Holmes of the Chad Holmes Show to discuss different approaches to governing by our Wisconsin senators.
If you are in the Wausau area and listening to Bull Falls Radio, you're going to hear that tune again in just about 15 minutes as Chad Holmes gets set to take his show to the airwaves in the Wausau area. And he joins us now to help us talk about some of the issues that he's working on there. Chad, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Hey, I'm going to start with you because you obviously you're not just talking about local elections in a couple of weeks here, but of course we're looking ahead to November and talking about people who are getting things done. And while we've had a lot of fun, you know, with Eric Hovde's not so great launch of his Senate campaign, you've got Tammy Baldwin, who's again explaining the ways that she's getting things done in the latest federal spending bill. It includes things like, you know, $1.4 million to help the city of River Falls renovate its fire station. You've got, is it Rothschild is about to get money for fighting PFAS contamination. You've got the Lac du Flambeau tribe getting support for a tribal fish hatchery. A lot of things here about affordable housing and about senior housing, if you want to keep our seniors in rural Wisconsin. So for all the talk about commercials and rhetoric, I mean, actions truly should speak louder than words, even in a campaign season.
Absolutely, 100%. And that's the thing that I find worrisome right now. I mean, even when you just talk about some of the basic issues that you talked about earlier, when you were talking about, you know, Trump talking about Orban, and I'm thinking, how many people actually know who Orban is? How many people know what Tammy Baldwin does on a daily basis? How many people know what Ron Johnson just said? I saw a story yesterday that he was on one of these right-wing television networks, Real America's Voice, of course, that's where Ron hangs out a lot, said that inside the bubble, Johnson said, Republicans say, we need to get a result. We need to effectively govern. To me, that's almost code words for we got to do Democrat light. I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation. Effective governing is a Democratic issue. And that's what Tammy Baldwin does. The idea that Johnson thinks we should never do anything shows it's a real basic difference between the two senators we have. And I just hope that when we talk about it and others put out the information, people realize that what she's doing is not political. It's doing the job. And when someone like Johnson says, when people say, well, we should effectively govern, that he automatically goes to a default that says, that's Democrat talk. I mean, it makes you shake your head. But
it sure does.
I agree 100% that Tammy Baldwin has, for two full terms now, basically, been a meat and potatoes legislator, which is, again, what all these legislators should strive for that so few do.
Just do the work. Just do the work. That's all we're looking for. So when you hear comments like from Ron Johnson, and when you think of a legislature that's going home for the next nine months, you know, getting paid rather than actually do their job, it's really not a stretch to say that folks like Ron Johnson, who aren't just hostile to democracy, and his record clearly indicates a hostility to democracy, but you really are talking pro-aristocracy, that the benefits in our community should really come from the benevolence of the very wealthy, who will fund, you know, private academies and you know, create businesses. They're the job creators. And again, it's that kind of an attitude that, you know, we tried to avoid when we created this country, you know, almost 250 years ago.
The idea that they know better, that they know what they're doing, and that if they decide that this is an area to invest in, they know better. But the thing about, you know, the history of the country is we, unfortunately, another area I don't think people realize. I mean, if you again go back to the late 19th century, the Gilded Age, and people like Johnson, people like Trump, people that I think are leading the mega movement. I would think that if they put a chapter in their Project 2025 on that those truly are the good old days, and those are not the good old days. If you go back to that history, that's where they want to go. They want, you're exactly right. They want everything to be optional. That the benevolence truly is that they know what they're doing. Going back to a full circle. Donald Trump is not intelligent enough to keep his mouth shut about his true beliefs. When he brings up guys like Orban all the time, he is constantly saying exactly what he is and what he wants to do. Will people listen to it? And I worry about that.
Our friend Tony Zimmerman says on a comment on YouTube, they're expected to do the job they were hired for. Seems like that's on us for unrealistic expectations.
By the way, real quick about that idea, the same people that constantly talk about getting people off their couches are probably sitting on their couches most of the time for the next 8-9 months.
Oh, that's certainly the case with
the hypocrisy is at times incredible.
Let's look at what's happening closer to home by you. I was supposed to have Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg on last Tuesday, but ended up needing a sick day, so I have not connected with her in a bit. What can you tell us about the mayor's race in Marshall, Wausau?
Well, she popped on over on Wednesday. I was like, what the heck? Pat put her on the day before I got her on. She's taking away all my thunder. So unfortunately for you, you got under the weather, but the mayor is here. And again, something that I find very impressive about the mayor is going back to the guy that we were just talking about, Johnson, the mayor faces a lot of tough issues and questions. And she's so open about talking about the water issue, talking about budgetary issues, talking about the unhoused, the issues that are faced in this community. And again, that's something that I respect. I think, again, it's going to be there. This community is a lot like the state of Wisconsin. It's not going to be an overwhelming election. There's we have plenty of members that have different political philosophies in this community. It's going to be a very interesting last 3 weeks. Only 3 weeks away. I know there's going to be a couple of joint appearances coming up with her and alderperson Doug Denny. It's going to be about getting that message out there and making sure that you maximize the folks that, you know, it's about the meat and potatoes of running a campaign, because that's, you cannot sit back and just assume folks are going to come out.
Chad Holmes talks about this next on Bull Falls Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Chad. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
Mr. Bach, thank you as well. Go enjoy some caramel delights, and we'll talk more tomorrow. And a reminder that Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media, look at our Facebook page, and subscribe to listen on demand where you get your favorite podcast. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.